Doing your online shopping is never a drag when you use our links for Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a podcast when you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robisawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robisawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who wants to know, are you ready for my cuckoo? I'm Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a very special podcast that we are doing today, because I have done something that I have never done before, and that is watch an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. I've been hearing for many years about the appeal of it, and here with me to talk about what happened in the RuPaul's Drag Race 100th episode, and I guess all of the 99 episodes before this, here are our good friends Brett Wolgamott and Ali Lasher.
Come through, Robasu.
Here I am. Ali, how are you?
I have never been less professional. I don't know if it was heard that I burst out laughing at your intro. Normally I try to keep that more together. Right. I'm doing great. This is literally a dream podcast. I had a dream that you did a podcast about this show and I wasn't a part of it, and it was a nightmare. So now this is a dream.
Okay, so we're here to talk about, and a lot of thanks to Brent for making this happen, that he was really the driving force behind this. We've talked for a very long time about this. AJ Mass, a good friend of the podcast, I know he's also a big fan of the RPDR. And yes. So that he said that I would like it. So I have watched episode number one. I do not get Logo, and I was actually surprised because I thought I had a pretty decent DirecTV package. But I was able to track down the episode, and I've watched episode one. And here we are, the premiere of episode nine, which premiered, or season nine, which premiered this past Monday. And it was episode number 100. So happy 100 episodes, Brent.
Right? It is 100 episodes. It is actually season eight, though, Rob.
Oh, I apologize.
That's okay.
I heard there's an all-star season, and some people count it, and some people don't.
That's very true, but we go by RuPaul, and RuPaul is God when it comes to RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes. Okay. So, Brent, since you are the main reason why we're here today, and so that we, you know, it's very important that we talk about RuPaul's Drag Race, why don't you tell the audience, for people, I'm sure people will listen to this who have never seen RuPaul's Drag Race, and maybe some people who've never even heard of RuPaul's Drag Race, if you can imagine. Could you explain what this show is?
This is a unique mix of performance art in a reality style elimination competition. And it's a little bit Project Runway, although there's only a few episodes where they actually make things like they did in this episode. And it's more America's Next Top Model with a little bit of Amazing Race and Survivor thrown in.
Oh, wow.
And I really like it because it would be like if you went on Survivor and if Jeff Probst was the ultimate arbiter of who won every season, because that's what's happening on RuPaul's Drag Race. There's a lot of bells and whistles. There's a lot of people standing around. But really, the only person that matters is RuPaul. And if you can impress her, then you're going to be the winner at the end of the season.
Yeah, I definitely do get the Top Model vibe from the show, especially when we have all the other judges on the panel at the end of the episode. Ali, why have you become such a big fan of RuPaul's Drag Race?
You know, it's funny, without going back too far, I remember the first time that I heard about RuPaul. I was at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, and there is a gorgeous sculpture of RuPaul. And I was young, and I was like, who is that, Mom? And my mom was like, that's RuPaul. I was like, RuPaul? And she's like, yeah, that's a man who dresses like a woman. And since then, everything RuPaul does, I follow. I've watched all of his spinoffs, the podcast he does with Michelle Visage. I really remember watching season two, although I have gone back and watched parts of season one, and I've never missed an episode. I think it's a really smart show. It's very funny, but it's not at the expense of drag. It's just everyone has very smart humor. And I also think it's a really good teaching moment, because no matter if you're gay, straight, have done drag, haven't done drag, have never seen a drag queen before, there's something to be learned from this show and from the queens on the show. And I like what they're doing for society. I mean, I think RuPaul has really been a champion for drag queens, and he's given a great platform to up and coming queens. And I like that it's extremely entertaining. The talent is out of this world, and it's a good lesson.
And again, I was not as well versed in the world of drag and drag queens as I was coming out of this episode. So it was a bit of an education for me to learn about what's going on with all of these different people that are competing on the show. Brent, has there ever been a straight drag queen on the RuPaul's Drag Race? Is that possible?
I want to say that there may have been early on, but gosh, you know, I could be wrong about that. My inside says that there wasn't, it's such a hard call. I think that it's like the commercial that was going on during RuPaul's Drag Race last night, the Gay for Play game show.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to be gay to be on the show, but it sure do help. So yeah. I think everybody on the show.
Did you notice who was one of the people that they were promoting is going to be on that show?
Yes, that was Ariana Grande's brother.
Yes. he's everywhere. Yes. I went on Amazon.com today and I saw a picture of him.
Yes, I can't get away from him, Rob. He's no everywhere.
There's no escape.
Who wants to shine bright like a Frankie?
Yes, love it. I'm sorry, I didn't know you had that at the ready. You surprised me. I shouldn't be surprised anymore. Yes. What I was going to say was... I just really quickly wanted to touch on, you know, the people on this show are not transvestites. Now, they could be, but most of the people on the show are not transvestites or transgender. Mm-hmm. They are drag queens. And that is a huge difference. If you notice, all of these people who come on the show are seen as boys when they're in confessional. They're never seen as in drag. And there's a reason for that, because it's boys who are getting up into girl drag through performance art and trying to, you know, make you laugh, make you smile, parody gender differences through dress or behavior, intending to provoke the audience. So it has nothing to do with a lifestyle choice. You can mm-hmm. look at somebody like Bob the drag queen. Bob is, you know, he's a pretty butch guy when he's out of drag. Seriously. Right. I mean, you know, especially, you know, in terms of gay people. I mean, he's miles ahead of where I'm at, you know? So I think he could, you know, throw a football down the field and go run and catch it himself. So, It's not a lifestyle choice, and that's what I think a lot of people misunderstand. I know I'm gay, and I didn't understand that when I first started watching the show. I thought, you know, all the people who dress in girls' clothes were kind of the same, and they're not. Everybody on this show, for the most part, is just a drag queen. I will say this: there have been people on the show who were drag queens who later went on to either become transsexual, meaning they transitioned from one sex to another, or they're transgender, meaning they identify with a specific gender themselves. But most of the people on the show are just drag queens.
Yeah, I think that's a very important distinction. And tell me if this is accurate, that drag queen or being a drag queen, it's a lot like cosplay, where it's you are somebody in your everyday life, but then you are becoming this alter ego, this other character when you put this costume on.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. It's a campy, sometimes some people think it's a little bit of a pejorative term for performance art through crossing genders. And I really, really enjoy the show. It's popcorn television, Rob. You can just sit down and enjoy RuPaul's Drag Race. It's fun. It's campy. It's witty. It makes you smile. It makes you laugh. And most of these girls, and we do call them girls, by the way, they're a train wreck. I mean, they are just so they're living for their drag right now, that's all they've got going on. And it's great when they're in this mode, because you get to see all of their creative juices flowing.
Allie, one of my favorite things about this show that I didn't know about is that the world of drag queens is very ripe for wordplay and puns. I had no idea that was such a big part of the drag queen lifestyle.
Yeah, definitely a huge part of the show. A huge on both ends, on the contestant's end, on the judge's end. Right. It's constant. It will continue throughout. And one of my favorite moments with Miss Fame from a prior season is when they basically kept trying to get her to give the proper hilarious response to "How's your head?" because she had a knife through it, and she just wasn't getting it. And they're basically, the judges are then teaching her how to be witty and how to retort in the proper way. It's really more than just jokes. It's like a way of life in the drag queen world.
Right. So we watched episode number one, and we will spoil whoever went home in that episode. But could you just talk a little bit about the format? Because I saw how things went down in that first episode of this season, which was the 100th episode. But could you talk a little bit about what the average episode format is like? Because I don't know if what I saw was exactly what goes on every single episode.
Sure. Most of the episodes are an hour long. So tonight you saw a 90-minute episode, or last night you saw a 90-minute episode. And that's because they were introducing all the contestants. It's like Survivor, Rob. They're introducing all the contestants. They want you to get to know people and they want you to be emotionally invested in the contestants when they eventually eliminate somebody. So the way that the show typically works is, the show starts, they all come in, they talk about the queen that just went home, and they do a mini challenge. RuPaul, and it's usually very fun. I mean, it's never anything too serious. RuPaul, of all people, never takes himself too seriously. By the way, RuPaul is the one person on this show that I will use he or she with. He sometimes comes, because RuPaul is his real name. And so sometimes he comes out as RuPaul, the businessman or the CEO. And other times he comes out as RuPaul, the supermodel that you saw at the judges' table.
Okay.
So he comes out and does a mini challenge, and usually that involves something fun. But what it does is it gives a very small advantage to whoever wins it going into the main challenge. And the main challenge, and it can be anything. It can be a commercial. It can be a magazine. It can be a photo shoot. It can be what you saw tonight, which is a little bit Project Runway. There can be all sorts of things that they can do. They've even sang at different points. You never know what RuPaul's going to throw at you. I will say this, though. If you can make RuPaul laugh, you can get through most of these because that's what RuPaul demands more than anything. You have to have a sense of pop culture. You have to be able to be articulate, and most of all, you have to be able to make him laugh. So as you saw, they judge the top and the bottom. The judges give their 2 cents. But at the end of the day, it's RuPaul who's making the call. And there are people in the top and the people who are in the bottom. And if you're in the bottom, you just don't want to end up in the bottom two, because if you're in the bottom two, then you have to what we call lip sync for your life. And it's the final lifeline that they give you in the show to save yourself. And I know you're laughing about it, but it's true. There have been queens who really should have been sent home. I think, particularly Layla in this episode probably should have been sent home, but she absolutely kicked ass in the lip sync and saved herself. And that is a lifeline for the contestants in the show.
Okay, in this first episode, they had the Lady Gaga song "Applause" came up for the lip sync. Now, do they know the lip sync songs ahead of time, Allie, or is it just like, here's a random song and you might not know it and you're just totally screwed?
No, so that used to be, I think, a bigger deal in the past, where I know it was mentioned because some of the girls don't know the song, that they are given the song ahead of time. It may only be a day ahead of time. I'm not 100% sure of the timeline, but they're definitely told what the song is going to be for the elimination. And there used to be sometimes where the queens would obviously not know the lyrics and they would get, dinged really hard on not knowing the words, but that hasn't come up that recently.
Okay. Right. What they do is, Rob, they give the contestants a list of songs that may come up in this season when they get ready to go out to tape. But then when you get there, as she said on the day before, they say, okay, the song, the lip sync for your life song for this episode is, "Applause." And so, that whole day you can, listen to it. Everybody has a little iPod that they've been given, and you can listen to it over and over and over. And especially after you get through the judging, if you think you're going to be in the bottom two, there is a, you know, a, probably about an hour time gap where, while they're taping there, you can, you know, go in the back and try to listen to the song and make sure you have the words down. But yeah, they know it. They know the songs ahead of time.
Yeah, I did feel bad for Naisha, who was the person who was eliminated, who got kicked off basically because she couldn't dance. And I felt like even Kim Chi was making fun of her dancing. So she danced like a soccer mom. And right. I felt bad because I felt like that would, if I was on RuPaul's Drag Race, I feel like that's how ultimately I would be eliminated by my dancing.
Just don't end up in the bottom two, Rob.
Yeah.
The other thing about the show is that it really tests different strengths and weaknesses, and yes, not all of the queens could possibly have all of the skills that RuPaul tests for. But with lip syncing, sometimes you can just focus on your lips and how your lips move. And, you know, everyone has a different style of lip syncing. And sometimes there are really acrobatic queens who really do all the moves and the splits and the death drops. So I don't know. It's like coming on and not knowing that you're going to have to lip sync for your life is not knowing how to make fire on Survivor. It's like, you're not just cut because you can't dance. Like, you can perform without being like the best traditional dancer.
There was a lot of excitement, a lot of hype for this. This was the 100th episode that RuPaul brought back a lot of the winners to participate in the photo shoot. Brent, how often do they bring back the former contestants?
You know, I've never seen them bring back all of the winners before. I think one season, I want to say it was either season season four, they brought back Tyra Sanchez and Raja, who were season two and season three winners. And they had them talk with the finalists and say, you know, this is what happens when you win. So you really want to try your best in this episode to make sure you go for the gold. But I've never seen RuPaul bring anybody back. I don't know what the heck happened to Bianca Del Rio. She must have been touring or something. She was season six's winner. And I'm sure, Rob, you don't understand this, why they had a clown in there. But Bianca Del Rio, who was the queen that was missing, she, you know, the first episode she came out and said, you know, my drag is clown realness. That's how she describes the drag that she does. She has big makeup and big cheeks and big everything. And RuPaul just decided to put a clown in there, and because Bianca wasn't there.
I do want to talk about the cast from this season. I was trying to think about the best way to do this. That there's been a lot of this that goes on in the reality TV podcasting, but what do you guys think about, maybe, at least to my knowledge, the first ever drag queen draft?
Oh, I'm totally up for it. Yes.
All right. Let's
regular listeners of the Challenge Wrap Up know I have a difficult time with drafts, so as long as the rules are stated clearly and we stick to them.
Just pick the winner. That's it. We don't have to get points for anything, because we don't have anybody to score this that closely.
Oh, I'm up for it. Because I can see the winner or the finalists. I can see them a mile away.
Okay.
I can't.
All right. So then can I get the first pick then? Since I am
sure.
Since you guys know. So the order will be Rob, Allie, Brent, Allie, Rob, Allie, Brent, and then two people will go undrafted.
Sounds
Let's
good.
Do it.
Okay. All right. This is the first ever RuPaul, and somebody's going to write to us. No, I've been doing RuPaul's drag queen draft for years, and I don't believe you. I think this is the first one. Okay. All right. I will go with the first pick, person who I thought had winner's edit, person who I thought was really, really strong. I'm going to go with Bob the drag queen.
Damn you, Rob.
My number one pick. I love Bob the drag queen.
Yeah. You want to talk about Bob the drag queen just a second? Or
I can talk a little bit about Bob the drag queen. First of all, I love the name Bob the drag queen. I like that
too,
he's not going with any sort of crazy sort of name that tells you exactly, like, he's not trying too hard. Just like, who are you? I'm Bob the drag queen. Bob the drag queen has a good look. He's a stand-up comedian, a very funny guy. Seems like that he's up for the challenge. I like Bob the drag queen.
Right. I think, this to me, Bob the drag queen is going to have to try really, really hard to screw this up, because I think clearly he is the one that RuPaul has her eye on, because he is articulate. He's funny. He has a great sense of history. He has a great sense of pop culture and drag.
Like a young RuPaul.
Yes. I mean, he was
protégé.
Just, It was so refreshing to hear him talk. And, you know, I actually listened to your podcast, RuPaul, and I read your book, and it, I was like, really? Because there's these stupid queens that come on the show that haven't done either one of those things. And, it was just nice to hear someone who said, you know, I actually did my homework before coming on this show.
Speaking of homework, I've seen Bob the Drag Queen live.
What?
In New York.
Wow. Yes.
Y'all are sleeping on me, but I'll take second pick.
Okay, you just go to a lot of different shows and you see Bob the Drag Queen?
I don't. I actually went to, I've been really wanting to go see a live show for a while, and it finally came up.
A live show of what? They do live shows for RuPaul's Drag Race, or just a live drag show?
So they do. There's a Battle of the Seasons tour, and also, like, Bianca Del Rio has been doing shows in New York City long before she was ever on RuPaul's Drag Race, and then she comes on RuPaul's Drag Race, and now she can go on a huge, like, Rolodex of Hate tour, and everybody comes out to see her, and that's what I did. So there was, for her 40th birthday this year, there was a roast that she held for herself, and Jinx was there, Bob the Drag Queen was there, a couple other queens who are not on RuPaul's Drag Race. So it was very interesting. There's a clear dynamic of people who have been on RuPaul's Drag Race and the queens they work with and live with who have not been on the show. And there's a definite joke, probably half joking bitterness that comes with, like, oh, you were on that show or whatever. And so Bob was kind of playing that role. So it's really funny and exciting now to see Bob the Drag Queen as a cast member. I was excited. It felt like I had the inside scoop. He was very funny.
Is it sort of like how maybe, like, a comedian doesn't, they think less of a person that went on Last Comic Standing? Is that a big thing in the drag world where it's frowned upon, or is that you've made it when you get onto RuPaul's Drag Race?
Well, I don't think it's like Last Comic Standing, just in the sense that this boosts a drag queen's career, like, astronomically. I mean, right. I think it's an example of how grateful all of the queens, the winners, are to RuPaul, that they're willing, they could get, you know, 6 out of 7 winners. And I know Bianca's shooting a movie in Texas, so maybe that's where she was. But basically, everyone would do anything for RuPaul because they're so grateful. They're able to travel the world when they come back on the podcast and talk about their experiences. This, like, skyrockets a drag queen. So I think it's, like, the pinnacle of drag competitions, as opposed to, I'm not going to talk bad about Last Comic Standing, but I think this is more celebrated.
Okay.
Right. I agree with that. There's, there's definitely different aspects to drag as far as pageants, but, you know, RuPaul is the one name that's been able to cross over into the mainstream public that, you know, it's not just a gay niche thing. It's something that straight people, that gay people, that your friends go on TV and watch. It's an accepted form of drag. So if you have RuPaul behind you as a drag queen, that is currency. That is actual money that, you know, your name value just goes through the roof. Like Ali said, I mean, it's just an amazing transformation that happens for people who go on the show. Even somebody who isn't successful, even somebody who's on the show for 2 episodes or for 1 episode, they still, you know, say, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race cast member, blah, 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 Naisha Lopez. And, you know, that's going to really help her for the rest of her career.
Well, how is the drag queen business? Is that a profitable thing to get into? Does anybody get into it for the money, Brent?
No, I wouldn't say anybody gets into it for the money. People get into it because they enjoy the performance of the art.
But there is money in it, you're saying.
There is money in it if you're very, very good. But there are only very few people who are good enough that they can actually pack an audience and get them to come in and pay for a show. See, this is the problem, Rob. A lot of drag queens coming up, they just think that drag is all about lip sync. Like, when you go, if you go to a gay bar on a Saturday night and you see a drag show, you're going to see a drag queen come out and lip sync and or stand and model. And that's all well and good, but that is not entertainment. Entertainment is what Bob the Drag Queen does. Entertainment is what Bianca Del Rio does when they come out and they absolutely just floor you with their wit and their intellect and their comedy. It's, I mean, you know, as somebody who was trying to be a stand-up comedian for a while, it's tough. And so most of these drag queens,
I'm thinking this might be a way back in for me.
Right?
I like that.
They can't do it. Most drag queens, they don't have the wherewithal, just like most stand-up comics. They aren't very good. But there are few people who are really, really good at it. And those people can make a profit at it.
Michelle Visage and RuPaul will often talk about too, that because this show has the exposure and the acceptance that it does have, that a lot of young drag queens coming up don't realize how hard it is, that it's almost like glorifying the career. That's like, oh, I'll just get on the show and then I'll go on tour and everything will be great. And right. because you have YouTube makeup videos, they complain about, like, they're just thinking they know how to do makeup and then they show up and think that that's it. And that it's actually really, really hard. And a lot of these drag queens have paid their dues for 14, 20 years before they make it here and anyone knows their name.
All right, Allie, you have the second pick in our
yeah.
in our drag queen draft queens.
I was stalling.
Okay.
I mean, it's tough because I want to talk about it, but I want to give you my thought process. Maybe I could catch someone on the way back here. I'm also here. I will say this because I'm not going to be able to scoop Brent on anything he doesn't already know, but I am considering.
Why you scouted Bob the Drag Queen in person.
And you picked a lot of good that did me. You picked her up right away.
Right?
The novice here picks up my pick.
Well, I know a good at it when I see one. So, I work with Stephen Fishback.
I'm torn because I'm looking at, I really do think the herstory of RuPaul's Drag Race winners matters. And I think that's why we see a Violet Chachki win last season, coming off of a back-to-back Bianca Jinx comedy queen win. So the stage is set for another comedy queen to win, because the last year winner, Rob, was in the pink circus performer outfit with the top hat.
Okay.
And she was much more of a fashion queen. Right. You know what? Give me Kimchi.
Kimchi.
Which goes against everything I just said, because Brent, that's how I roll.
Is that a good pick?
You know, that is a great pick, because I will tell you this. I did a little research on this because I actually thought about this. Being the winner of the first episode is a very good omen. There have been 7 seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, and in 4 of those 7 seasons, the person who won the first episode ended up winning the whole thing. And on a 5th time, the person who ended up winning the first episode was the runner-up. So if you win the first episode, you can almost coast to the finals. I mean, I'm looking at Kim Chi, like, if she can get that walk down and be a little bit more articulate and a little bit more funny, I think she can really take this.
Now, Kim Chi's walk was described as being Sasquatch and Yeti-like. Allie, how will Kim Chi be able to overcome that?
Yeah, she's got to move from Yeti that walk to Sissy that walk. Exactly. And she's got to do it immediately. I think what I like about Kim Chi, I was hesitant for all those reasons. I like that they're painting the tough storyline that her family doesn't know.
Yes. That, Mom doesn't know Kim Chi is a drag queen.
That's taking Kim Chi at least 5 episodes. I feel like we're going to get that story fleshed out. And then at the reunion, we're going to see Mom in the audience blowing kisses, hopefully. Because yeah. that happens sometimes where the drag queen doesn't think the parents are that accepting, and then they're there and loving it. So best wishes for Kim Chi. But I know Michelle Visage really cares about the beat, really cares about the makeup, and that is Kim Chi's strength. And I think Kim Chi will be able to wow a runway even if she fails a bit in the challenge. So I'm going with Kim Chi.
Okay. But right. You didn't think that Kim Chi came off looking like a reject from Cats in the final challenge?
I think it was a definite possibility, but no, she really wowed that challenge, especially considering some of the stuff that the other queens were putting up there. I mean, she put an insane amount of effort into making sure that look was perfect. I mean, she was serving some real hairball realness, all right? So I really liked Kim Chi. I will tell you this. My pick, if it's not Bob the Drag Queen,
okay,
and it's not Kim Chi, then I think it has to be Chi Chi Devane. And this
Chi-Chi
is the
Devane.
Reason
wow.
why I say that. Because wow. RuPaul loves some amateur heart realness. Someone who just, you know, they're a bit unpolished. They're not quite there yet, but they've got a spark. And they've got some heart behind them. And RuPaul is a sucker for that. There was a contestant on Bianca's season, Adore Delano, who was an absolute disaster in the beginning. But she had heart. And, you know, Bianca ended up helping her and they had a great friendship. It was a great story. And if you can get a great story going on RuPaul's Drag Race, you will stay in. I mean, you know, this is, I mean, I don't want to say that everything's not on the up and up, but let's be honest. RuPaul is involved in the casting. RuPaul is the ultimate judge. RuPaul is the producer. RuPaul knows what's going on. So if there's a good story there, RuPaul's going to keep you in. So I think that Chi-Chi Devane, you know, even though she is, as Bob said, some country croc couture, she really has something inside of her, I think, that could take her to the finals.
She uses the cheapest foundation they can find, right?
Yes, and I love that she owns that. Yes, she owns that shit, Rob. Seriously, that's great. I mean, you know, I love that she's not trying to come out there and be somebody else. She knows who she is. She, you know, it's like all reality casting. She knows what lane she's in right now, and she's owning that. And the other queens, some of them, I don't know what lane there is, what lane they're in. And if that's true, then I don't think they're very long for this game.
Okay. Chi-Chi Devane is the pick for Brent. Brent, you get a second pick now.
Please ask me what I think about that pick. Please.
Go ahead. Sorry, Ali.
I love that pick because there was no way I was picking Chi-Chi Devane.
Why? Why are you out on Chi-Chi Devane?
I actually was shocked because they paint this wardrobe malfunction for the final and then she walks out and I actually thought she had a really good outfit and she sold it. So that I will say is a selling point. Right. But to compare her to Adora Delano, I see what you're saying. Yes. And RuPaul likes exactly what Brent was saying, but I don't know that the other judges will support. I think they will start getting hard on her to the point where RuPaul can't just keep saving her. I didn't like her personally. I felt like, I don't know. She just bothered me. And that's not important to say, but, the difference between Adore Delano and Chi-Chi is Adore was actually formerly on American Idol.
Right.
And had an amazing voice and was really talented and had a hilarious personality that just killed RuPaul. I don't know that we've seen that from Chi-Chi, but you know what? Good luck.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
I'm always wrong. So
a real challenge thrown down between Ali and Brent on Chi-Chi.
Oh yeah. I like my pick there. And my other pick, since I have another pick, I have to go with the only other person on the board who I think can win at this point, Acid Betty. And Acid Betty is someone who I have seen previously. I don't know if you know this, Rob. Acid Betty was on Project Runway. The designers on Project Runway, I think it was season 4, season 5, they did a drag queen challenge where they essentially made over drag queens and gave them a new outfit. And Acid Betty was one of the people on that season. I think her outfit ended up being in one of the top three. I think Terry was the designer who designed for her, but I haven't seen her since. And you know, I think that was like what, 10 years ago, something like that. And all of a sudden here she pops up on RuPaul's Drag Race and I'm like, is that the same Acid Betty that was on Project Runway? And sure enough, it is. So
what are you seeing from Acid Betty that is making you like her so much? Because I thought Acid Betty was very scary.
Well, I think that she provides good confessional.
She had a Disney villain vibe to her.
And I think that's good. Again, she knows her lane. She's over the top. She's a little bit irreverent. She's a little bit crude even. And I think that will take her in this competition. I really do. And let me say that Moneyball outfit that she was wearing, that was on point. I mean, if they didn't give it to Kim Chi, they were going to give it to Acid Betty because that thing had money all over it. It was designed from head to toe. I could not clock it. It was really fabulous.
Allie, were you happy that Brent took Acid Betty?
No, this I think was, not that I don't think the other one was a good pick, but this I think Acid Betty was one of my top two picks. I was between Acid Betty and Kim Chi. So right. I agree completely that I think that, especially because she's getting the quote like bitch edit, I think she's going to be good. Around.
Yes, yeah. That's good, Rob. Yes, the bitch always makes it to the end. Who was season 4 with Sharon Needles? Help me out. Fifi O'Hara. Yeah, that was the bitch. And then season 5, Roxy Andrews, she made it to the end. These are all bitches. The fans didn't like them, but RuPaul kept them in there because they caused drama. I guarantee you, Acid Betty is going to cause drama. She may not win, but she's going to make it to the end. I would be shocked if we get to the final 4 episode and Acid Betty isn't there.
Okay, so Acid Betty is the pick for Brent. All right, Allie, your second pick in the Draft Queen, draftqueens.com.
Oh my God, that was amazing. I'm going to write that down and start that up. Okay. I'm between two yet again.
One day daily fantasy draft drag queen leagues.
You could win $1 million. I'm between two.
Well, just pick one, woman. Come on.
But I'm going to pick. You had your time. I don't think two picks in a row. You know, you're in my light. give me the Courtney Act reboot, Derek Barry.
Derek Barry, the Britney Spears impersonator.
And I don't feel like this is the winner, but I do feel like there's more to see from Derek.
Okay.
Yeah. Derek's not going anywhere anytime soon.
For the people who are listening to this and who did not watch any of the premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race, that Derek works in Las Vegas and is a Britney Spears and is an uncanny Britney Spears impersonator.
No, I just want to ask you, because you probably know more about Vegas than I do.
I do.
Is there a market for six shows a week as a Britney Spears impersonator?
Well, you know, just so you know, it's not like he's performing by himself. There's a whole cast of queens who performs with him. It's, oh gosh, I forget his name now. It's the Divas show. I've gone to see it. I saw Derek Barry perform, he was great. He was wonderful. And I think he performed Circus that night as Britney. Let's be honest, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. For those of you who don't know, Derek Barry, they weren't lying in this episode. He is a quasi celebrity when it comes to drag. He is famous for being on America's Got Talent. That's the name of the show. America's Got Talent. I think he made like the top 48 or something like that.
As the Britney Spears impersonator?
Yes, as the Britney Spears impersonator. He's also gotten quite a bit of Instagram traffic for this sort of try relationship that he's in. He's in a interesting relationship where it's him and two other boys, Rob.
Are they also celebrity impersonators? Are they Justin Timberlake and Kevin Federline?
Incredible. Well, one of them is tangentially related to the show because he was a contestant in a challenge that the queens ended up making over these ex-Marines or whatever into drag queens or something. That's one of the people, plus his boyfriend. So it's a triad type of relationship. And I know he posts a lot of Instagram and on social media. So between that and his Britney Spears act, he's got a lot of attention.
So the big knock, I feel like, on Derek towards the end of the episode, Allie, was, okay, we've seen that you can do the Britney thing. Can you do anything else? Do you think that she will be penalized for too much Britney? Because that's basically the biggest strong suit that Derek has. If you take that away, what else does she have?
Well, what bothered me about that is, okay, so all of these queens have their characters. They have their thing. And if Derek Barry's thing is Britney, like, you don't see them saying, okay, first challenge, Acid Betty, we've seen your colors and your wig and your shaved side of your head. You know, like, I think because it's a real person, they're being too hard on her. And we're seeing that from Rue, who's like, I'm not done with seeing Britney. Like, give me a little bit more. But I think we do get when the queens repeat their looks and rest on the same thing. Michelle Visage especially will tell them, you know, don't rely on your body, or we've seen this from you before. We've seen that silhouette. So I think she has a couple more looks she can get away with, but that will start to become more of a problem. I'm surprised it became an issue episode one.
I am also surprised it became an issue on episode one. I mean, come on. It's the first damn episode, Michelle. Seriously. Like, I mean, you know, maybe you can clock Derek a little bit because, you know, I think that was sort of predictable that maybe Michelle was going to clock him for coming out and looking like Britney during the first episode after he had already looked like it during the photo shoot challenge. So, you know, maybe his best decision should have been at that point to come out in something, you know, the anti-Britney at that point. If he could have done something, the anti-Britney,
Christina.
Yes, just exactly. Just like totally done something that looked like the anti-Britney and come out like that, I think he would have had license to do whatever you want with Britney later on down the line. And you can, by the way, you can even tell, even in my lingo, normally I call all of these queens she, but because Derek Barry goes by his real name, Derek Barry, in both his drag name and his real life. I sort of flip the pronouns a lot between the he and the she, depending on what he's wearing at any given time.
Okay.
I'm just pointing out for the people who might be confused that, you know, at one point I said he and another time I said she, and that's true, but it's the same person. It's okay. Derek Barry.
It's also very queen specific, I think, a lot of times with their pronouns. Yes. So forgive us. We have nothing but respect.
Yes.
From our end.
Now, with the Derek Barry, Britney Spears impersonator thing, do some drag queens look down at somebody like Derek Barry, almost like a musician? If there was somebody who, when I used to live on Long Island, I used to go to a lot of different bars that had like the cover bands. And it's like, oh, tonight, Bad Medicine, the Bon Jovi cover band is playing. And maybe the other musicians might say, I have less respect for this band than this other band that's playing their own original music. Brent, is there any sort of stigma to being sort of like a cover drag queen?
The only people who are going to look down on Derek Barry for being able to, you know, almost effortlessly impersonate Britney Spears are the people who are at the top of drag, like RuPaul, maybe Bianca Del Rio, maybe somebody like Chad Michaels, who does an impressive Cher impersonation. Everybody else, if they're clocking her for doing Britney or looking down on her for that, they're just jealous. Let's be honest. I mean, because, you know, he has a career. He has people paying him money and looking at him and knowing his name. He walked in. Everybody knew who Derek Barry was. I knew who Derek Barry was when I first saw the cast list for this season. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know Derek Barry. I mean, so, you know, I couldn't say that about any of these other queens. Who the hell are they? You know? So, no, they're not. They're just jealous. They're not mad about the fact that he's got a performance down. Right.
Yeah, don't be a hater.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then it is my pick again. I have the sixth pick overall in the draft queens draft, and I'm going to go with for my money, thought best looking drag queen out there. I'm going to go with Naomi Smalls.
Very good pick. I like that one.
I think that Naomi came out very early on. It was either the first or second person out. But then I felt like the judges didn't love Naomi. She came out with the boat. It was maybe not the best prop to bring out there with you. But I felt like that Naomi Smalls, sky's the limit for Naomi.
That's one thing I'll say, that I was kind of disappointed with this first episode because I didn't think it was a good entry point for new viewers, because basically that boat, every look that the queen had to give was inspired by a challenge from a season past. And they didn't explain really the challenges. They kind of like had you rely on remembering. So she had to come out with that boat.
Yes.
But I was disappointed in that in the episode. But overall, I think that was a really good pick. I mean, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that counts.
Exactly. Rob, she had to come out with the boat. That was the whole thing that during the episode, Float Your Boat, which that was the name of the episode where they did this pride challenge. They celebrated gay pride. Every single queen came down the runway with one of those boats, and they were all different colors. So she had to bring the boat out. Thank God she was able to set it down at some point and actually show off her legs, which I know she loves to show off. I think that's a great pick, because if it's not going to be Chi-Chi Devane, it's going to be Naomi Smalls, because you know why? Because Naomi Smalls has the thing that RuPaul loves more than anything. Confidence.
Oh,
if you walk in,
I think they say great legs.
If you walk in and you can control a room, RuPaul loves that. If you're like Layla and you're sort of, I don't know, kind of intimidated to be here, you know, you're going to be out before you know it. Seriously, I couldn't believe she wasn't eliminated in this episode. I loved how Naomi came in there and literally just did every pose that she knew. Even with all of those winners in there, she was not intimidated at all. And she's young and she's beautiful. She's got a great confessional. If, like I said, if it's not Chi-Chi, it's her.
Yes. Striking Naomi Smalls.
She is gorgeous. Wow. As a boy and as a girl. Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think she's really studied. She knows her stuff. She's not just walking in like, I'm pretty. Like, I think that was Naisha's issue is like her. All we got from her was, I'm all about appearance. Have I mentioned like being beautiful?
Right.
And then nothing came of it. So Naomi knew who Kimchi was because she follows makeup Instagrams. She said she's been studying fashion magazines to get poses. Like, that's the kind of work, you know. Rue wants you to be doing your homework literally like on your bed reading Vogue. Like, that's like the, you're just clawing your way up to the top. And I feel like Naomi's not just resting on being a fishy queen or being beautiful, and she's going to give more hopefully too.
Yeah. Very good point, Allie. It's very good. Yeah.
Okay. So I have the 7th pick overall. This is getting very tough now because I think that,
none of these people are going to win. Let's be honest.
All right. Then let me just go ahead and I will take, Cynthia Lee Fontaine, just so I can get to say, are you ready for my cuckoo? Over and over again.
Gosh, it's like Charo incarnate. My God. Yeah.
why does she have a catchphrase?
Rob, what's the cuckoo?
I don't know. I was going to ask you guys. I think her cuckoo was her butt. I don't know why that was. I don't know. Like cuckoo-racha? I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but that's her cuckoo.
Oh my gosh. This is why I'm so thankful we're doing this podcast tonight, Allie. Oh, it's great. I love, so like for real, I couldn't even, you know, I think it was, who was it? Bob or maybe somebody else. Maybe it was Naisha who's saying you can't even understand her, but you laugh anyway. You know, I couldn't understand half the things she was saying. I really couldn't. And I guess her cuckoo was her butt. Yeah. She walked in and said something about, I need more room for my cuckoo. And I guess she was talking about her butt.
Yeah.
So,
On her website says, Cynthia plans to dominate the competition with her giant personality and her giant cuckoo too.
I have met a few giant cuckoos, Rob.
Yes. Yes. Now is she padding the cuckoo? Is that like a, are you allowed to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can. And yes, she should be.
Okay. Yes. And there's no sort of like a problem with, like, you could come in and have like any sort of prostheses to enhance yourself in any sort of way.
Yeah, you can do that. A lot of people, somebody has a breastplate that they've brought in. Some queens have had actual boobs before that they, you know, they've had implants where they're making the transition from being a boy to being a girl.
No stigma against that. That's not any sort of like performance enhancing.
No, first of all, it's not politically correct either. They had a contestant on season before last who was actually fully transgender. And she was actually going through the process.
And that's allowed?
Yes.
I feel like that's not fair.
Oh, it's totally fair because, you know, Rue doesn't care. You know, you're on the show because you made Rue laugh or you impressed Rue in some way. You know, the fact they were all born physically boys. After that, Rue really doesn't care. So I like the fact that she's sort of non-judgmental about the whole thing.
Okay.
I think it's interesting because, Brent, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Well, the first thing is when Morgan McMichaels comes out and when they're randomly picking, Robbie ultimately to assign, the joke is that since leaving, Morgan McMichaels has padded her cuckoo like no one else's business. And basically from what I hear is like, beyond J-Lo. I think that was the joke is when she like basically, you know, serves from her cuckoo, but
right. Now, everybody did get the Priscilla Queen of the Desert homage there. Has everybody seen that movie or am I just like dating myself here?
All the listeners or Rob and I?
I know. I'm guessing Rob hasn't seen it. I was wondering if you had seen it, actually.
I have not seen it.
Okay, so let me explain really
quickly. I know of it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, same.
There's a movie called Priscilla Queen of the Desert, and it's so from the guy who played Zod in Superman 2, Terrence, what's his last name, Rob? Terrence, I want to say, it's not Howard, it's, who cares? It doesn't matter. The guy who played Zod.
Lee Fontaine, I believe.
He played one of the main drag queen in Priscilla Queen of the Desert, and they basically take this bus across the Australian desert, and they go, and they break down at this one point, and they meet this couple. It's an old straight white man and his sort of mail order bride. And her thing that she does to get attention is she takes ping pong balls and puts them up inside of her, and she pops them out.
Where are we going ball. With this, Brent? Where's well, the that, story going?
That's the thing that they were doing when
that's
when,
what they did.
When that's what they did when Morgan McMichaels bent over and popped out the ping pong ball and shot it to RuPaul. That they were giving a homage to Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. RuPaul even said it at that point that there's a scene where the woman in the movie literally like bends over and pops ping pong balls out of her, you know what? And it's a
not
big,
her cuckoo.
I mean, you don't actually see it, obviously, but you see the ping pong balls going everywhere. And it's a great, hilarious scene. If you go onto YouTube, I'm sure you can see it. It's wonderful. And I love
it. Pause recording. I'm going to be right back.
She wants to go see the YouTube episode of the girl popping ping pong balls out of her hoo-ha.
There's also a great story about that with Bradley Cooper and The Hangover. But anyway, back to the padding for a second. Did you notice a lot less, and I don't know if this is just a trend in drag, but a lot fewer of the queens I felt were padding or even doing extra padding. I mean, Naomi Smalls, for example, I mean, she was just like, this is my amazing butt and this is my, as Nicole Richie put it, boy chest. I didn't notice the more traditional style or old school style of drag as much.
No,
or at all.
No, it's a fair point. I think they're figuring out that they can get away with a lot less. I think this is what happens when RuPaul's Drag Race has been on for 8 seasons, and there are literally people on the show who grew up in the age of RuPaul's Drag Race. You know, Naomi is like, what, 21? Lila's 22. So, you know, they were, what, 15, 14 when RuPaul first came on. And I think they're just... This is what annoys some of the older queens, these younger queens that come on with their, you know, toned, taut bodies, but no padding whatsoever and think that they're doing drag. And mm-hmm. I'm sure somebody's going to clock her at one point, but right now she looked pretty good.
But is there still a stigma for my Naomi Smalls to have cliffhanger feet?
I had never actually heard of that before. Allie, is that have you heard of this before? The cliffhanger thing?
I was going to say, this is one of the things I love about RuPaul's Drag Race is because they just drop words into the lexicon. Like, that was amazing. I knew exactly what she was talking about, but I never heard the word for it. And I think that's like a new regular phrase now.
Okay. Right. I had never heard it either. And I love the fact that I just picked it up. Now I'm going to be looking at every queen who's walking around in heels. I'm going to like, is she cliffhanging? I don't know. What's her toes doing? You know?
All right. Allie. What is
me
your
again?
Yes, you're back to you. Who is your pick of these people who will not win the game?
Give me Thorgy Thor. Feeling Thorgeous. The best thing about Thorgy is what RuPaul does with her name. But I mean, a little Ronald McDonald for me in that carnival outfit, but she got screen time. She's part of this New York clique. She has drama with Acid Betty. Give me Thorgy.
Okay.
At this stage.
Brett, anything else to add about Thorgy?
Well, I'm not trying to clock Allie on this one. I may be wrong, but I thought it was Thorgy. So did we get clarification?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, okay.
I think she corrected someone.
Yes, it's Thorgy as in orgy. Yes. So yes. If you can remember that, you've got it. Yes.
Okay.
No, I think that's a fine pick. I mean, she's as good as
you're going to find in exactly. Number 8 in the draft, like, Queen's draft.
She's like episode 5, episode 6, cannon fodder. I mean, that's where she's going to go, let's be honest.
So, all right, yeah. Brent, bring us home. The final pick in the draft.
I think you have to take Dax exclamation point.
Oh.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about her, actually. But, you know, this is a very new thing, this whole cosplay thing. Nobody's ever really done anything like it on RuPaul's Drag Race before. I think RuPaul is interested to see more of it and to see the person behind it.
The queen of all nerds.
Yeah, and she has... okay, confessionals. I would have liked a little bit more energy, but she has a very unique look, and she could be a sleeper candidate. Let me just say that last season, there was somebody who made it to the finals who I thought had no chance to make it to the finals. So I have been surprised before.
Name names.
Oh, Pearl. I thought there was no way Pearl was going to make it to the end, and she made it all the way. She could have. There were some people talking about Pearl being the winner of last season. I almost fell off my chair. But no, Dax exclamation point, really, she could be a sleeper candidate. I like her.
Okay. So the people that were not drafted, the person who was in charge of assigning all of the tasks, on this episode, that ultimately did not get drafted, Robbie Turner. Brent, why did you not want to select Robbie Turner?
Well, I'm sure, Allie knows as much as I do that there's no way Robbie Turner is winning this season.
Why?
There's two because It's been done before and better by Jinx Monsoon. His homegirl, who was right there wearing the same damn wig, literally from the same damn era, but better. Exactly. Right. What was his wig was dry and thirsty. I don't know what that was. So there's no way he's winning. And then the fact that he was stupid enough to forget to give himself an assignment and ended up with the one he really didn't want. I mean, who wants to carry around that dog forever? I mean, that's just RuPaul. She watches things like that. There's no way RuPaul is going to forgive that. And, you know, I mean, you really have to know how to play the game. You've got to be in it to win it. There, as RuPaul always says, when she comes around the workroom, there's $100,000 on the line and there's all these queens are upping their game. And if you're not upping your game, then you're out of the game. And there's no way she's winning. Too old. And the other thing RuPaul hates more than not. I'm sorry, I'm ranting, but the other thing that RuPaul hates is dated drag.
Oh.
This is the epitome of dated, old, tired drag. So I don't know.
How did Robbie get on the show?
Well, you know, they need someone to eliminate every week, Rob. You know, what can I tell you? You know? Okay.
All right, Allie. Then the other person who didn't get picked was Layla, who was in the bottom this week, but she survived thanks to her lip syncing. Can Layla bounce back?
This isn't a hard and fast rule, but it's pretty difficult once you're in the bottom to really make a resurgence, especially episode one. So I'm going to redirect my time to talking about Robbie for a second.
Yes.
Like, I'm in a debate. Like, he said my name, so.
You have 30 seconds.
No, just I almost picked Robbie a couple of times, and it was only because I felt like there was a lot of misdirection that he was sort of the narrator of this episode. I mean, we were cutting to him for every shady remark after, like, every, like, he was commenting after every single queen did something. Mm-hmm. So part of me wanted to pick her for that reason, but ultimately, I agree with what Brent said. And Layla, there was just no question. I mean, she could have been eliminated this week. She could be eliminated next week. I mean, she just doesn't have it.
So
good lip sync, though.
good lip syncing, though. All right. So we will see ultimately how this plays out. How many episodes are there in a season, Brent?
Typically, like, I want to say 10 to 12. I think maybe last year there was even 13 episodes. There's it depends on, every once in a while RuPaul will do the Big Brother thing where they bring back somebody who was eliminated and they sequester them, I don't even think they sequester them because there's no reason to, but they bring back somebody who was eliminated. And it just depends. Every once in a while, she'll not eliminate somebody. Occasionally, she'll eliminate two people if they both suck at the lip sync. So you never know. I love the fact that it's RuPaul's show. It's RuPaul's universe, and we're just living in it. So you never know what's going to happen on this show.
All right, before we get to the questions, let's just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of this podcast. And those are friends over at Spin for Perfect Skin. Because that I am going on a journey because I've been so inspired by the beautiful skin that we've seen talking about this show that I want to go on my own skincare journey. And that's where Spin for Perfect Skin comes in because it's something that Nicole and I have gotten to try out. Nicole loves it. Look, I am a simple man and I don't need an extravagant skincare regimen. So the Spin Brush is a perfect addition with four of these unique attachments. I'm exfoliating like crazy, extracting bacteria from skin surfaces. I'm reducing my pore sizes, killing bacteria, ensuring that my skin stays clean. And you should see the texture of my skin. The Spin Brush is travel friendly. It's shower friendly. And we've got a great discount for if you want to try the Spin for Perfect Skin Brush. It's originally $100. It's down to $30 with the discount. That's 70% off. So go ahead and use the link vanityplanet.com/RHAP. That's vanityplanet.com/RHAP. Use the promo code RHAP. Join me on the journey to achieving perfect skin. All right, let's take some of these questions. First, can I ask another question? My question here is, what does it mean when RuPaul asks, may I call you Jiggly? What does that mean?
Take it, Allie.
So this just goes back to my bit of a complaint about the episode in general, that they were really it was like the first episode of Fuller House where they're just going for all of the classic moments.
Right.
And RuPaul does little bits with some of the queens based on their name, and Jiggly Caliente, Brent, you probably know what season, but Jiggly Caliente was a former queen, and he would always approach her workbench and say, may I call you Jiggly? And that was just became a classic moment. If there's more history than that, then
yeah, it
I
was
don't
a,
know
it. It, it there, there it's a famous line from a movie or something.
Okay.
Maybe you could look it up really quick. Can I call you Jiggly? It's from a movie. I know, but so the name of the queen, her name is Jiggly Caliente. That's her name. She was season 4 queen. She had to lip sync for her life during the first episode where it was the apocalyptic challenge where Sharon Needles won with this amazing zombie outfit. And Jiggly Caliente was just totally broke down. But she was a fun queen. I think she made it to like final 6, final 7. And she had a lot of heart. Again, this is what I talk about. You know, she was a terrible queen, but she had a lot of heart behind her. She really wanted it. And, you know, that counts for a lot in RuPaul's eyes. So, that's where it comes from.
In that, well, this used to be called Shemale, M-A-I-L, which I believe is probably gone because it was offensive. I mean, RuPaul has gotten into a lot of issues with, you know, now they use the phrase granny instead of the T word that he used to use in a song. Anyway, so they've been modifying a lot of the language, even that RuPaul uses. Even RuPaul gets in trouble. So they didn't rename it. It's what tree mail is, basically. And there were a lot of callbacks there, like, bitch, I'm from Chicago. May I call you Jiggly? Like, they were really pulling out all the stops.
Okay. So getting very self-referential.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So then Jim Rosario wants to know, Brent, how has the Drag Race evolved from the first cast to the latest cast?
Oh, I mean, this cast is so much more aware of what RuPaul's Drag Race is and the pop culture phenomenon that they are a part of and that they will have once they leave the show. I think they're very aware of their image that they're projecting to the public. No one wants to come off as the bitch, because if you come off as the bitch, then, you know, people aren't going to want to come and see you. There are people who, you know, were probably pretty good drag queens who came off as really mean on the show and almost unseemly mean. And I'm specifically talking about Roxy Andrews, you know, concerning Jinx Monsoon, who was the winner of that season. It was sort of a bullying kind of thing, Rob, or that's not fair to Roxy. I'll say that, but it the episodes made it look like, and Roxy didn't do herself any service by making it seem like she was sort of bullying Jinx a little bit and demeaning her. And of course, you know, the fans just had a huge outcry and wanted Jinx to win, and RuPaul ended up giving it to Jinx, and, you know, Roxy was left holding the bat.
Katie Sharp wants to know, what did you seem to identify as being the stronger trait to being a better drag persona? Beauty, comedy, or being more eccentric?
I think they're really looking for the quadruple threat.
I know those
were only three, but I was trying to think of a word bigger than quadruple, but I'm sleepy. No, so I think they're really looking for as much of the whole package as they can get. I think we kind of saw a ding at just what was represented as a pure beauty queen, as we talked about. So I really think they're looking for funny. They're looking for glamorous. They're looking for outside of the box. They're looking for resourceful. And one of these queens will emerge. Usually the winner is pretty versatile.
Right. Rob, I will say that RuPaul always says in these episodes, you might miss it, but she says she's looking for the queen that has the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And if you look at what that makes an acronym of, it's sort of funny, but that's what RuPaul is looking for in this season. You have to have charisma. You have to be unique. You have to have the nerve and, you know, really be totally fearless. If you can be totally fearless, that really goes a long way in RuPaul's eyes. And you have to, of course, have talent. If you've got talent, you're going to get to the top.
Now, I was going to say, you could always look at Bob's bodysuit if you need to remember that.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
How is the winner ultimately selected on the RuPaul's Drag Race?
I mean, RuPaul is the one who selects the winner. So
they go down to a final two, and then RuPaul selects the winner?
Usually it's a final three, actually. Okay. Back in the old days, in the first couple of seasons, they eliminated the third place queen, and it got down to a final two. But nowadays, they get down to final three, and RuPaul, right, I know, RuPaul ends up, you know, RuPaul makes the decision. I will say that this is the main thing. You know, Jim asked about what has changed. What has changed about the show from season one to now is that RuPaul is on social media and she asks the fans for their input. This all started during season four. You know, the first three seasons, I think, were queens that the fans would not have voted for. Season two, the fans wanted Pandora Box over Tyra Sanchez. Season three, the fans would have wanted somebody like, I don't know, Manila over Raja. Maybe, I don't know, it's a little bit dicey.
I like Raja.
Yeah, I like Raja too, especially now. But back then, it was, she was a little bit, maybe being seen by the fans as being, you know, born on third base and thought she hit a triple or something like that. I think that, you know, after season four, RuPaul was looking for the fans saying, you know, I still make the decision, but your input could sway me. So tweet me at RuPaul's Drag Race or hashtag or, you know, Facebook or Instagram. And ever since then, the queen that the fans have wanted to win has won. Jinx Monsoon was the fan favorite. Sharon Needles was the fan favorite. Bianca Del Rio and even Violet Chachki. I know it was dicey.
No, I agree with you.
There were three iffy queens last season. I will say, Rob, last season was probably the weakest of all the seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race. I am hope that this season... I don't know. Allie, maybe you can take it, but I couldn't really identify with many of the queens. There wasn't a lot of empathy there. There wasn't a huge rooting factor.
I think they tried to make the winner become more relatable suddenly in the end, but she kind of got the mean girl edit throughout the season. And typically the RuPaul's Drag Race fans aren't rooting for the mean girl. And she had a bit of a reformation. I think a lot of people maybe felt that it was forced. A lot of the queens were kind of like that, and they were gorgeous. And I mean, Violet's most known for being able to like cinch her waist to be like 2 inches around, right, where she looks like she's dying. And Ariana Grande actually flipped out for that. So a little crossover there. So I don't
what
know.
Do you mean she flipped out for that?
She was the judge on that episode.
Yeah.
She got mad? Ariana Grande was. Yeah. Ariana Grande was the guest judge on the episode where Violet came down the runway. They were doing something about death. And that was the theme for the runway, death. And Violet came down the runway with this gas mask on and an oxygen tank, and her waist was literally cinched. I mean, I could send you a picture of it. It was unbelievable. I could not believe that a boy or a girl for that matter could get their waist to be that thin. It's just uncanny. So yeah, that's where that came from with Ariana Grande. She was living for that.
Okay. She was leaving for that.
No, living, Rob, living.
I heard what you said. She was leaving though. She was so upset. All right. Then we have one more question that comes to us from Facebook. Roger Thompson wants to know, finally, who has the winner's edit besides Bob the Drag Queen?
Besides Bob the Drag Queen? I don't know, Allie. What do you think? I mean, is there somebody else that's getting winner's edit here?
I don't even know. I think Bob the Drag Queen right now has the winner's edit. I think that could potentially change. I mean, wouldn't say it's a lock from episode one. I mean, I love a funny queen. I love an arrogant queen, but they could turn that on him if they feel like they need someone to turn that on. But I ultimately think Bob is a standout. I think Kimchi getting that parent story is something they like to talk about a lot. I would say those two, but I think our first rounds of picks are pretty much there.
Right. Okay. Kimchi is the other one that I think could have the winner's edit because of the fact that she won the first episode. And that is a good omen when it comes to RuPaul's Drag Race. I cannot believe how many times that's happened where somebody who won the first challenge ends up winning the whole thing.
Okay. All right. Anything else about RuPaul's Drag Race that you guys want to make sure we get out there to the world?
Nothing about RuPaul's Drag Race in general. I just really wanted to quickly say about the contestant who was eliminated tonight. She really
Naisha.
She did herself a disservice. I mean, I didn't think she necessarily deserved to go home. I thought there were a few other queens who were probably worse. I think Robbie Turner probably deserved to be in the bottom two, surely for the iffy outfit and forgetting to give himself an assignment. When she admitted on the runway that she didn't know how to make a dress, that this was the first time that she had done that. Right there, RuPaul should have just sent her home, because you know, going into the first challenge of RuPaul's Drag Race, that they always, 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 almost always do some sort of, you know, make a dress out of construction paper or out of trash bags or something. You know, they do something in the first episode that is very Project Runway-esque. And if you don't know how to sew, you shouldn't go on the show.
Is that a catchphrase?
Well, I mean, you know, I think, right. Bianca Del Rio said it. You know, it's the RuPaul's Drag Race has been on. This is the eighth season now. Nothing's going to be a surprise. You know what's coming. Why did she not prepare? Why did she not sew a dress or two at home and practice this before she came on the show? She said that she was a pageant queen. Pageant queens are famous for their preparation. I don't know why she didn't at least try to, you know, construct a dress in the privacy of her own home rather than waiting for the pressure of RuPaul's Drag Race and a challenge that she probably wasn't very thrilled with in Dime a Dozen to start her journey. That was just, that was a terrible decision.
Okay, Allie, any other thoughts about the Drag Race?
Yeah, my final thoughts here is, I mean, I think we've seen more to the evolution of the show. The more,
all right, I'll get Josh Wiggler on the line. We'll start the rewatch on Tuesday.
Yeah. I'm jockeying for if Josh ever replaces Steven, maybe I could step in for Josh. It's like a whole, I'm just trying to get in line.
Yes, get in line. I know how to do it. Go ahead. Yeah.
But so the diversity they're showing amongst types of drag that they've really made a push to show every season. And now they're getting into that anime cosplay aspect that we've never seen before, that I've never even thought of as drag. So they're just really pushing the envelope, which is amazing. And we get to see such diverse, unique talent, but it makes it harder and harder to judge because it's so subjective. And there are going to be, you know, Snatch Game and comedy challenges that some of these queens who are so talented and shouldn't go
What is Snatch Game?
Oh,
it's
Lord.
A spoof on Match Game where they have to impersonate a celebrity. And
Ron, you would love it. It's a game. It's the game show episode.
Okay.
It comes up like episode 5, episode 6.
Tell me when that one is on, Brent.
Yes. It's the Match Game. You have to pick a celebrity and impersonate them. And they play like this pseudo game show. They have two celebrities come on as the contestants. And you know it's coming. It's like, it's just like this challenge. You know that it's going to be there. It's not a surprise. Everybody knows it's coming. It's the episode. It's sort of like Top Chef and Restaurant Wars. It's the episode that everybody waits for. You know, everybody can't wait for Snatch Game. So, yeah, Allie's right. We love Snatch Game.
So basically just say, like, my final thought is there's just such, like, it blew my mind over the past few seasons what a drag queen is and could be. And I think that that's what I enjoy from the show. And you'll really see a lot of unique entertainment and talent, whether or not they go home early or late. Usually they're really talented at what they do, and that's why I love the show.
Right. You know, Rob, I really say really quickly, you asked me why somebody like Robbie Turner is on the show. And it's because of what Allie just said. They're trying to showcase different aspects of drag. They're trying to show, you know, what drag is and what it can be. And, you know, Robbie represents a different kind of drag than something like Kim Chi or Dax exclamation point is doing at this point. And it's good for fans and for the world to see it.
I have a question. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay. So will you be watching any more episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race this season?
Well, Rob, the tricky part for me is that I don't get logo. So that to set sort of a season pass, that I'm not against it. I just, it's a little bit of a challenge for me to go out and see the episodes.
Fair enough.
That's cool. And Rob, I want to say on behalf of me and Allie, we thank you for doing this episode. I know I twisted your arm. You know, for the people out there who don't know, I pushed for this. I really wanted, you know, you have a lot of gay fans out there and a lot of straight fans who really love RuPaul's Drag Race. And we wanted to see you talk about this show. I'm really, really glad you did it. You seem to enjoy yourself. And
it didn't take a lot of arm twisting. I mean, I think that I always said, like, you know, to do a weekly recap for me, that would be definitely a tall order. But I never mind, like, okay, here's a show. Let's go ahead and try out one episode.
Yeah, that's good. It's more arm twisting on my part just to make sure that I was a part of it.
Yeah. I do like them bringing in the celebrity judges towards the end of the show. That's pretty fun. We did have our friend of the podcast, Ross Matthews, was there this week.
Yes. Yes. We love him. And by the way, Thomas Roberts from MSNBC, formerly of CNN, who I love, you know, great member of the gay community, out newscaster when it wasn't easy being out. and obviously very handsome. He's going to be a guest judge this season, and there's a bunch of other people who are really, really fun who are going to be guest judges.
Ross is actually a regular judge, yeah. Right? Ross and Carson are regular right. judges. Are they both always there? Did they rotate? But they're definitely regular.
Right. Ross and Carson are there for the first episode together. And then after that, they're going to rotate. I think it's going to be like maybe Ross for like episodes 2 through 6 and then Carson for episodes like 7 through 11. And then they'll both come back for the finale. Something
but
like
they
that.
Do have great celebrity guest judges, like real, you know, real celebrities and not real like celebrities. The B team.
Yeah, exactly. Real fun celebrities, Rob.
All right. So we have a lot of choices here. What is the hashtag for this conversation about RuPaul's Drag Race?
Cuckoo, lock it in.
Cuckoo?
Yes. I'm down.
How do you spell cuckoo?
According to the website in the bio for the great Cynthia, K-U-K-U.
Perfect.
Cuckoo.
I love that. Okay, well, that makes a little more sense, because when she's spelling like, you know, cuckoo bird, that would make sense to me. But, you know, K-U-K-U, I can get behind that.
Wow. Okay, yeah. I see what you did there. Okay.
Yeah, right.
All right. So, any other final things on the RuPaul's Drag Race? We'll leave no stone unturned.
No. I think we've covered pretty much everything we wanted to talk about. Every time you say my name, Rob, I gag. I can't believe I'm on this show, for real. But thanks so much for having me on. It's really a pleasure.
What, the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast?
Yeah. No, not this one necessarily. Just the fact that somehow Allie and I weaseled our way onto another podcast with you. I love it, you know?
All right,
I've already fangirled enough.
All right. Well, anyway, so much fun. Of course, you can hear Brent routinely on all of our Big Brother Canada coverage, either with me or with Jordan Parhar on the reality TV wrap ups. Of course, you could hear Allie in addition to on the challenge podcast on reality TV wrap ups. Allie, what did you just record on the Bachelor podcast?
Yeah, so I'm playing Rob for a day and doing two podcasts at once, back to back. We just wrapped up the Bachelor Rehap Up Women Tell All. Amy and Haley, who do an amazing job every week. I'm a big fan of their show. Had myself and Lita of News AF intern
yes,
fame.
News AF intern Lita. And yay. Also a co-host of the American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up coming soon.
So we spilled all the tea on The Bachelor, and I think it was a good show. I had a lot of fun.
Okay. Look for that on Reality TV Rehap Ups. You can find that on robiswebsite.com or by going to robiswebsite.com/rehapups, R-H-A-P-U-P-S. All right. That's going to do it for us here today. We're back into the Survivor Gauntlet, kicking off starting with the Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night. So hope you can join us live 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. All right. Very fun to talk about the show. And if you want to check out more RuPaul's Drag Race, of course, it airs Monday nights on Logo. Check your local listings.
By the way, guys, if you really enjoyed this podcast, make sure you tell Rob. Say something in the comments or send him a tweet or something and tell him how much you enjoyed it, because I really love the fact that he watched this show and gave it a chance.
Yeah,
if
let us know.
If he didn't like it, don't say anything.
Please don't. Yes.
Let us know in the comments, definitely, what you thought and what you're thinking of the show. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.